This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Miami has so much money tied up in Tua that after this year, there's a way out of that contract. With the health questions, like maybe, again, I'm not telling you they're doing it. We're talking and imagining. I don't think it's likely, but I'm not completely dismissing it. I don't think Arizona's likely, but there have been questions about Kyler Murray. There have been questions about the owner not being a huge fan. Mm-hmm. What if all of a sudden they take Shedeur Sanders and then it puts him in a position where they can move on from Kyler Murray? Los Angeles Rams, Matthew Stafford. Again, this is, to me, going to be the great question of round, where does Shedeur Sanders go? Because it doesn't look like two or three. So is he going 9 to New Orleans, 21 to Pittsburgh? Is he going to the Browns or Giants who trade back up? Or is there a wild card scenario out there that we don't see, that we haven't talked about, that we're missing the way that many people missed last year? Michael Penix and the Atlanta Falcons.
You brought up Penix and the Falcons earlier on in the show. There's always a mystery team.
Always.
There's always someone coming from out of nowhere. Might it be Pittsburgh? Might they be interested in moving up to get a quarterback? I think a lot of the signs point to next year being the year comp picks, blah, 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 their infatuation with Aaron Rodgers, blah, blah, blah. But you can't rule anything out. This team took Kenny Pickett a couple of years ago, and I think most people paying attention, most people quote-unquote in the know, thought if they took a quarterback, it was going to be Malik Willis. They took a lot of people by surprise that night. So Schefter listed a whole bunch of teams there. He played the game we played earlier.
He did.
That's a game everybody's playing. Well, could they? I guess. Any team that's got a veteran quarterback that's getting near the end of their career, or a stopgap quarterback, even if they're paying that guy like Seattle is paying Darnold, you could still make a reasonable argument that they might be interested in a quarterback depending on where that quarterback falls.
Uh-huh.
But here's one that's fascinating to me. Now, Jalen Milroe gets invited to the draft, and we find out yesterday now that Jalen Milroe has accepted that invitation to the draft, meaning that those around the NFL, the decision makers, the powers that be, think that there's a good chance he goes in round one. Steelers aren't going to get Cam Ward. If they had to take one, Doran, if they had to pick at 21, Milroe, Dart, or Sanders, who would you want them to pick?
Who would I want them to pick, or who do I think they are going to pick?
We can play both games.
Who I would, if they had to pick one,
mm-hmm.
I'd go with the more finished product, which would be Jackson Dart.
Oh!
It'd be Jackson Dart.
But they'd pick Sanders.
But they would pick Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
I would go with Dart because of... Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I've watched a plethora of Jackson Dart film. But from what I've seen, he possesses every trait that you want in an NFL quarterback. and did it in the SEC. So
why you got to throw this Big 12 slander around out there?
It's not Big 12 slander at all.
It's a great conference.
I could have said Milroe.
That's true. He played in the SEC.
Right. Jackson Dart did it, and the way that he operates and some of the things he does, it'll be easier in my mind in the fantasy world of football of saying, like, on paper, this guy will translate better as a quarterback immediately than the other guys. He has more tools and is more polished with his tools than Shador in some of the areas. He's can move better than Shador.
You know, yes.
That's one thing. Jalen Milroe can move better than all of them, but
yes.
He can't throw. You know, I mean, he's inaccurate. So, like, I would go with the guy that has the best tools that I could work with immediately, and that would be Jackson Dart. Now, who do I think that they're going to take? If those three are available, it's Shador Sanders. I think that if Jalen Milroe does go in the first round, he is 100% going to get drafted by the Baltimore Ravens, which would make a lot of sense.
Ooh!
Jalen Milroe will 100% get drafted by the Ravens as a backup to Lamar. That makes every single sense in the world, doesn't it?
Oh, I think so, but I don't. Wouldn't do that in round one.
I wouldn't do that either, but it makes a lot of sense.
Somebody thinks he's going in round one.
Right, and I think it's the Ravens.
I wouldn't touch that guy in round one with a 10-foot pole, and I happen to like the prospect.
I mean, he's as close to Lamar Jackson as you can get.
Sure.
Lamar Jackson, he puts himself in, he's getting older, puts himself in harm's way a lot. Offense wouldn't change that much. That would make a lot of sense to me.
Meanwhile, you've got Mel Kiper with his latest mock draft, and this is what I want, baby. Give me a sexy defensive lineman. Oh, yeah. That chicks dig the long ball. How about Crowley digs the D lineman, baby? Derek Harmon, defensive tackle out of Oregon. 5 sacks, 35 pressures as an interior pass rusher. You pair him with Keanu Benton to fill in eventually for Cam Hayward. Oh, yeah. Now, he continues on, and this just came out moments ago. This is breaking Mel Kiper news storm. I originally had Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart to Pittsburgh, and he said he throws with accuracy and velocity. He'd be a potential short and long-term answer. We're all still waiting to see what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. You think Rodgers is going to wait until after the draft?
I don't think he can now.
Because of all the information out there that says they could be interested in a quarterback.
Yeah, Dart or Sanders, or even Milroe. I think that's on purpose, but I don't think he's in a position that he could wait.
I hate to be this guy. I'm going to be this guy. I've read and heard a lot of quote-unquote Steelers experts, Steelers beat writers say, wow, the national media is all over the Steelers and their potential interest in a quarterback. It's not happening. These are the same people who told us Russell Wilson's not going to happen, Justin Fields isn't going to happen, that Aaron Rodgers would never happen. So with all due respect, I think there is a possibility that it's quarterback 21.
Yeah.
And when guys like Mel Kiper are considering doing it, and guys like Field Yates have done it, and Bruce Feldman, who's as tapped in with college football and agents as anyone out there, has the Steelers taking a quarterback 21st overall, I do think it's something we got to talk about.
Well, I also think that if they trade their second round pick or multiple picks from next year to get back in the second round, then it definitely can be quarterback, because then they can get what they want with the second round pick that they will get back from the DK Metcalf deal.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have a second and a third and a fourth. So you can, and we know this draft is deep with starting caliber talent at running back and defensive line. There you go. You can get your quarterback, and then the second and third round still get starter caliber players for the positions that you actually really need.
I'm trading back. I'm not touching QB, but I think at 21, if one of those guys is there, they're probably going to go in that direction.
No, Crowley, I don't know if I honestly ever answered what position I would take. Like, I've always said what I think that they would do. I think that they would go Amarian Hampton with the 21st pick. I think that if Shador's there, they would pick Shador Sanders. But what they should do is
get a big fat fatty. Put him on the D-line.
I think that you can get that later.
If they had a second round pick, then I'd still consider going wide receiver first round. But they don't right now. If that changes, then my opinion might change. As information changes, so too should opinion, Dorn. But right now, they haven't addressed defensive line, and their defensive line is old. You still haven't said.
I don't, because I don't.
I'm filibustering. I'm Corey Bookering your ass.
I know. I mean, it's always been receiver for me. But
if they don't go D-line for my money, wide receiver is the position that I wouldn't freak out about. Like, I want them now to go D-line. If they go wide receiver, I'll accept it because I like a lot of those guys who profile to be there.
Can I do it like this? If Ibuka's on the board, Hampton is on the board, Harmon is on the board, Shador is on the board, I think that they should pick. Oh, man, I can't even do it.
Come over to the dark side of the big guy.
I don't know. Like, oh, man.
They want to be the Eagles. This is your chance to be the Eagles, right? I mean, and the Eagles have spent primary high first-round picks on defensive linemen. You don't have that luxury unless you trade up. I'm not suggesting that they do.
Yeah, but they also have the running back.
Yeah, but that was the last piece they added. And that brings us to the visitor that came into the Steelers facility yesterday. Actually, we'll get to that coming up in the next segment.
Kyle, what are you laughing at?
He's cackling in there. We're having a great nuanced conversation about what the Steelers are going to do in the draft. It's only
nuance.
The franchise we care about most in town, and you're giggling over there. Why?
That's just the nuance of Crowley.
Get a big fat fatty. Get a big fat fatty. Things uttered at Jack's on the south side at 3 a.m. Get a big fat fatty.
You just mutter that. Get a big fat fatty. Yeah.
Yeah, all due respect. I'm just, get a big guy. Get a big hog. Big hog.
Get a big fat fatty.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Get a big fat fatty. I wasn't there before the Metcalf deal. When I got Metcalf, I said, okay, if they go defensive line, it makes a ton of sense. Before that, I said, you go wide receiver,
yeah,
damn it.
Yeah, same.
Because you're going to have Rodgers. You're going to have a quarterback next year or this year in the draft. Give that guy that nice little nest, that little baby birdie. Give him that little nest, you know, with all the worms and the twigs and such.
Okay. If Jackson Dart is there, I think you take him.
What? What do you say? You're all over the map. You're all over the map.
Well, I'm saying if one of these guys are there.
Which was the basis of the beginning of this conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that you should take Jackson Dart, and then next year, if it doesn't work out, I think that you go first-round quarterback again.
My problem with that is, and has always been, you're not going to know if it works out or not, because he ain't going to play.
I'm going to roll the ball out there, like I said, with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson next year after Aaron Rodgers is gone. With the first-round quarterback and say, all right, you two, one's going to be really good and be the starter, one's going to be a really good backup.
You're going to throw the pull cue on the ground and say, yep. We're going to have tryouts.
Tryouts. Make it quick.
So next year, first-round quarterback beating the hell out of Jackson Dart with a pull cue is how you see this all going down.
Maybe.
I mean, we've talked to Doug about that. You just throw quarterbacks against the wall and see which one of them sticks. I do think there might be too much star in one room if it were to be Rodgers and Shador. That'd be fascinating to me.
Oh, man.
Fascinating
really
to me.
It really would.
And I don't think Rodgers, for all the character assassination, some fair, some unfair, that has gone on with him, I don't think he was a bad mentor to Jordan Love. Like, Jordan Love was in the documentary. He actually said exactly the opposite of that. Like, he said that Aaron helped him out. And that's one thing that Aaron probably learned through experience, because Favre didn't help him.
Right.
How about that part of the documentary, by the way? When him and Brett Favre were talking, and Rodgers was basically like, yeah, you weren't great, but it wasn't that bad. And then Favre was like, well, yeah, I used to do this, and I invited you hunting. And Rodgers was like,
No,
you didn't. No, that's not quite how that went down. All right, if Dart's on the board at 21, Milrow's on the board at 21, and Sanders is on the board at 21. What would you do if you're the Steelers and you had to pick one? 412-928-9370. That's the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Take your calls, texts, and tweets on that coming up next. And this visitor that was at the Steelers facility yesterday, what might it mean for their draft plans?
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Just got this text from my wife. Already know I'll be having a beer tonight. Oh, no. I don't know what the heck's going
she
on.
She will? Or you?
That's what she said.
Oh, wow.
8:22 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
It's a long rough time to have to look ahead to that. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. An interesting visitor at the Steelers facility yesterday. We'll get to that in a moment. Mel Kiper has the Steelers taking Derek Harmon, defensive tackle out of Oregon, 21st overall. It's not sexy. It's not Shador. It's not Jackson Dart. It's not Emeka Abuka. It's not Genty or Hampton. But I think that it might be the most practical move. And if he's there, I think you jump at the opportunity to get the big guy. What say you? 412-928-9370. I don't know that I ever answered my own question. If it had to be one of those three quarterbacks, Dart, Sanders, or Milrow, who would I take? I'd trade back and take Dart.
Trade back?
Yeah.
Huh.
To like 27th, 28th, something like that. See if I can get a second round pick. If someone wants to come up and take a running back or one of those defensive tackles. Like if I had to take a quarterback, if all three of them are there, you know you can get one when you move back in all likelihood. And you could probably get back in the second round. You could take your defensive tackle then.
Hmm.
I think I cheated my own game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We'll get to that draft visitor in a second. But you and I were discussing during the break the national championship game from last night. And because I'm a West Virginia fan, I can, and I think Pitt fans can feel this way too, and Pirates fans and sports fans, whatever. We can all empathize. Houston was absolutely good enough to win the national championship. They were in control with a chance to win the national championship. And then maybe it was the ugliest final possession in the history of a winner-take-all game.
Mm-hmm.
And those fans, man, I would rather lose in the Final Four, even to Duke, than to lose in the national championship by 2 points.
2 points.
Oh,
scratched and clawed to get there, too. Like, they are a good basketball team. They kind of controlled. I mean, that first half, they controlled it.
You know what happened, too, man? And this happened. Doug Sermons is the ref, and he's a Big 12 ref. He does this all the time. First half Big 12 games, and it's a physical league, lets the teams play. Second half, they start calling everything. You can't do that.
I know, right?
You cannot change the way you call the game mid-game. You just like an umpire, like last night, that guy was calling everything. Strikes. Up in the zone, low in the zone.
Yeah.
Both dugouts were bitching, and you could hear it because there's only 8,000 people there, so their calls, their protests were echoing throughout PNC Park. If you're calling the low one in the first three innings, you better be calling it in the ninth.
Right.
And we didn't see that yesterday. And I'm not saying that's the reason. I mean, those last four possessions for Houston were as ugly gets. They deserve to lose the game because they didn't execute. Like, they didn't score the final 2.5 minutes. Like, they deserved it. But that was crap. And some Houston fans are saying that it was over before it started for them. And this isn't political. This is just funny to me. Ted Cruz made the bet. He's the senator from Texas. He made a bet with the senator from, with one of the senators from Florida. And I guess this guy's been a huge curse, Ted Cruz. Anytime he shows up at the games, the Texas team loses.
Really?
Yeah. He was there when the Rockets.
Doesn't his son play for Florida, though, on football?
It's hard to say. I don't know. He might. I'm on cron.com/sports, so I don't know how trustworthy this is. But Cruz was present for the Houston Rockets 2018 Game 7 loss to Golden State. He was there for Texas Tech's national title loss to Virginia, as well as various other losses for Texas and Texas A&M football. Jeez. I'd have been so pissed if I could have voted for the guy who walks into the stadium. I'd be pissed off.
That's not Ted Cruz's son. Somebody's son plays for Florida. One of the senators or whatever.
Different Cruz.
No. One of the guys. I don't know. One of those weirdos out there.
All right, so the Virginia Tech running back was at the Steelers facility yesterday for a visit. That's exactly what I'm looking for, big guy. Dropped a big guy on you. Give me a mid-round running back who I could pair with Jaylen Warren, who I could pair with Kenneth Gainwell. That's my triumvirate, and I'm taking them to battle.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know that I love this guy. He's fast.
Really fast.
Really fast. You saw him with your own two eyes.
Yeah, like he
in the flesh.
Insane breakaway speed.
He's the fastest running back in the draft.
In the draft. And it's real, too. It's football speed.
People are calling Ted Cruz the Andrew Filipponi of Texas politics, is what somebody texted in. Yeah, I mean, speed like that, oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. My it was Marco Rubio, I guess.
Rubio, that's right.
One of those guys.
Yeah, one of the same. You know what I'm saying.
Nah, I'm picking up what you're saying.
Same guy.
Yeah. He fumbles a lot, Virginia Tech kid.
Tootin.
I'm scared of my... Yeah, thank you.
Well,
why don't I use his name?
Steelers. I mean, Mike Tomlin hates that.
I know, and I think one of the reasons why it's not just decided that it's going to be Jaylen Warren, Kenneth Gainwell, and then some undrafted free agent or a guy that gets cut loose is because I don't know that Mike Tomlin trusts Jaylen Warren to tote that thing 70% of the time because of the fumbleitis.
Uh-huh.
And if you're afraid of handing the ball to a veteran with the fumbleitis, you're not going to let a rookie split time with you. And I'm guessing that's what they were getting into yesterday at the facility. They probably, here, hold this football, and they beat the hell out of him and see what happens there.
Yep.
If he didn't have the fumble problem, he would probably be, you know, thought of or more highly regarded in the draft. I just don't. I'd be surprised if the Steelers had a running back room with that many fumbles.
No, there's no way.
Yeah.
No way. Enamored, yes, as you should be, but Mike Tomlin, I mean, he is not down for that.
No, and I'm not one of these guys who says you need a battering ram. Like, I don't need the next Najee Harris. I would rather have speed. Like, give me as much speed as possible, and I think Warren's more dynamic, as we've seen, than Najee Harris. Like, I'm fine with that. That's not the problem. I don't think you need some moose in there that can lower his head and get 3 yards. I actually think Jaylen Warren could be fine at that. I just can't have two guys that fumble.
Uh-huh.
I can't. And especially a guy jumping levels. Like, you're fumbling in the ACC. Like, is that going to get better? Maybe. I don't know. Tiki Barber figured it out along the way. Holding it all goofy later on.
All high.
Man, he used to fumble all the time.
All the time.
Tiki.
Whatever happened to Scataboo? Nobody brings his name up anymore.
I think he's slow.
Yeah, he ran a 4.6 something? Yeah. 4.65? 4.65. I don't think he's as big as he looks either.
Yeah.
And he's taxed.
Yeah.
Like,
he's all blood and guts.
Yeah.
All heart, right? Which is awesome. Like, he might wind up being a really good player in the NFL. I don't know. I think you're kind of going down Najee Harris Avenue again with that guy. I like him. I'm going to root for him. He's cool as he's puking.
Yeah.
That's a dog right there.
Mm-hmm.
But he
they were exciting.
Do that for somebody else.
Dude, that team was exciting to watch.
Big 12
time.
Football, Doran.
I mean, it wasn't because of that. Like, he was just exciting. It had nothing to do with the conference. Conference stinks.
Whoa! They took Texas to the wire, blew it. They blew it. They're probably kicking themselves like Houston was.
Yes.
Wonder if Arizona's senator was walking up in there.
Stinks.
All right, coming up next, we switch gears. Tyler Kennedy going to join us. Interested in his thoughts on Ovi, just at large. That's next.
Here is Ovechkin. Shoots! He scores! He scores! Number 895!
Doran, I'm still not sure where that one beat the goalie.
Nah, I have no idea. I
think it might have just went right through Sorokin's soul.
Yes.
Into the back of the net and then out real quick. 895 for Alexander Ovechkin, and Tyler Kennedy joins us now to get into that. TK, brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. TK, were you consuming that live? Were you sitting there on the edge of your seat watching Ovi in pursuit of greatness?
I was not, but obviously I'm on my phone quite a bit, and then as soon as it happened, I turned the TV on, and it was quite a celebration they had for him, but what a milestone.
TK, have you ever been around Ovechkin, talked to him, hung out with him, had a beer with him, chit-chatted? Like, what is he like as a person if you have?
Yeah, so I met him probably 3 years ago at the All-Star Game in Florida, and I never knew him because we had such great battles, you know, from him and Sid, him playing in Washington, us in Pittsburgh, like, you know, back in the day, like, he was a guy that you wanted to, like, kill because he was such a great player and you had to keep your head up. And it was probably the opposite way, too. Like, at the beginning of Ovechkin's career, he, you know, he'd catch you with your head down. Like, he played a heavy, kind of reckless game. So there was a lot of, not hatred, but pretty close. And when I met him 3 years ago, he was like the nicest guy. He like remembered me, you know, he loved, like, you know, we had a quick beer and just talking about those rivalries and just like, he's a very relaxed guy, a very easygoing guy. And, you know, he just was, I guess, everything you heard about him off ice. Cause I've heard he likes to have fun. He's a lot easier going than maybe some other guys around the league. And when I met him, he was exactly that way. And, you know, I talked to Orpik a while ago about Ovechkin, and he's like, the one thing that him and Sid always have that are very similar is like how hard they compete and how bad they want to win, you know. And it's just interesting, you know, being around him and seeing him in that moment. And even at the All-Star game, he still, you know, was still looking to score, still looking to put on a show.
Tyler Kennedy, brought to you by Julian Gray Associates. Take steps to protect yourself and your family throughout the different stages of your life with Julian Gray Associates. I thought the most aesthetically pleasing hockey series that I've ever watched was you guys against the Caps in 2009. I mean, the speed of the game, TK. I mean, it just jumped through the TV. Plus, you had the dueling hat tricks game. It goes seven games. What do you remember about that series?
Well, I thought that was like, whoever won that was going to win the Stanley Cup, you know, and just the media attention, the two gladiators going after it head to head, both putting up unbelievable points, you know. And it was one of those series, when I look back on my career, that I'll never forget, just because of how much talent was on the ice, how it went back and forth, you know, how guys like Crosby, guys like Ovechkin, Malkin, really bring their game up to the next level and like put on a show for the whole world to watch. And, you know, seeing how that game 7 unraveled, you know, going into Washington was pretty crazy, with starting with Marc-Andre Fleury making that huge stop in the first period against Ovechkin.
TK, outside of obviously Ovechkin and some of your teammates, who's the best player you ever played against?
The best, like, Ovechkin was, like, at the beginning of my career, Ovechkin was, I'd say, top two. But the guy that, like, always kind of really kind of blew me away was Pavel Datsyuk. Pavel Datsyuk wasn't a big guy, but he was so shifty and so, like, smart and had the hands, always thought two steps ahead of you. You know, he was a guy that I've never seen that level of high-end skill, you know, and I played against Patrick Kane. I played against Joe Thornton. I played against Ovechkin. And Ovechkin was a different story because he was like a power forward where he would put you literally in the top row and get a hat trick in the same game. But for skill level and just being able to like take the puck away from you and you couldn't get it back and just dish the puck and, you know, vision and all that, I would say Pavel Datsyuk was a guy that was, you know, was a real eye opener that these are like the highest level of players in the world.
TK, I want to take you back to 09 again because we know the Penguins aren't going to be playing this spring, so we have to go back and live through nostalgia. But you talked about that save Fleury made on the Ovechkin breakaway in Game 7. Did you guys feel like Washington was tight after that? Like, could you feel like you had him? Because I know, I mean, in 17, in that Game 7 in Washington, I mean, everybody to a man pretty much said, yeah, you could feel Washington gripping the sticks too tight, including Washington.
Yeah, I just think when that happened, everyone knew it kind of gave the bench hope that, wow, yes, we got a chance. He made a save that put us in the game, that gave us a chance to win, you know, and on the other side, when I thought of Washington, what did it do to their crowd? It took their crowd out of the game. They kind of calmed down a lot. You know, it really settled them down because if he would have scored, I don't know what would have happened in the game. But he didn't, and we got a goal shortly after, and then you can just see the ball was starting to roll in our favor, and they were getting tighter and tighter because, you know, the longer the game goes in your home rink when you're losing, the more pressure you have. The pressure keeps building. And then when you think of the playoffs in Game 7, like they were almost in like a perfect storm of the pressure getting built up too much. It was one of the biggest playoff series ever. And we were leading going into like the second and the third period. So it would have definitely, you know, changed the momentum and changed just the rhythm of the game. You know, when you think of playoff games, it's all about rhythm, all about finding your groove. And that's why, like, you see a lot of, you know, seed 8, 7 seed, 6 seed really do well in the playoffs because they're usually fighting to get into playoffs and they learn how to win. They learn how to find their game where guys in the, you know, top seed, they kind of take off the last 3 weeks of the year trying to prepare for the year. So that's why like the rhythm means a lot in the playoffs and rolling into playoffs on a winning, you know, mentality and the rest of that.
TK, awesome stuff. We always love story time with TK and we'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you.
All right, boys, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
You too.
Thanks, TK.
Tyler Kennedy. He'll be on with the guys at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Thursday.
Oh, he said tomorrow.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
We'll get our days mixed up.
It's Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
That means Neil Walker at the top of the hour. I wanted to talk to him about this, but there just wasn't going to be enough time. Like, Ovi used to try to take the head off of Malkin more than anybody else. Gonchar, too, the countryman. Like, he took Gonchar's knee out. Like, he would... There was the one hit where he went flying horizontally through the air because he just missed Gino. I think Gino saw him at the last second. And now they're, like, super close, as I understand it.
Oh, yeah.
So weird. Back then, they were not, though, and Crosby hated the guy.
There's something about, like, athletes, whenever you know the guy and you go against them, it's, like, almost like your brother, but you're like, I'm going to try to take this guy out. Like, I never forget, like, a whole game, and when I was with the Lions, my job was to block the safety, and the safety was Ryan Mundy from Woodland Hills, and I've known Ryan forever.
West Virginia guy, Michigan guy.
Yeah. And then we play for the Steelers, got drafted by the Steelers. Yeah. I try to take him out every time. He was like, man, chill, what are you doing, Dor? Like, you know, in my ear the whole time. But there's just something more whenever you know a guy you're going against at the highest level. You want to say, like, hey, man, like, I'm the guy from where we're from.
Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah.
For sure. And, like, when you're playing in the backyard, because that's all I can draw from.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I mean, there's nothing I can say.
Well, yeah.
Malkin wound up winning the Conn Smythe in 09. But he was coming, and I think Ovechkin always wanted to make it a point that he was better than Sid and that he was the best Russian and better than Gino, too. And he would just, he was headhunting.
Yep.
And I used to hate him, but then the longer it goes, and I think that this is true with the guys, like Crosby appreciates what Ovi's doing. Ovi appreciates what Crosby's doing. They all appreciate Gino and what he meant to the league and what he meant to that rivalry. And as you grow together and you're really each other's only true peers because you entered the league at the same time and you've played now for 20 years, of course you're going to soften and you're going to develop relationships
and you
there.
Accomplish what you've accomplished too.
Right.
Like you know, if you look at pictures of all of them and they look like they're 18-year-old and like no hair on their face, and it's like, man, like you have all these big dreams and like, man, I hope one day that I could be, you know, regarded as one of the best, and you know, in the same conversation as Gretzky, and then you do it, that, and you do it together in your own ways. Yeah, that's just awesome. Like, that's what I think sports are about in a way.
I would love a documentary about Crosby and Ovechkin, something where, you know, they detail their battles in 09 and 16 and 17 and their ascent through the league. I would watch the hell out of that thing. Someone put it together. Maybe we'll put it together here.
Maybe.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Neil Walker going to be joining us at 9 o'clock. Buccos on a mini two-game winning streak. Paul Skeens takes the bump today. We'll get into all that with Neil. I saw this a ton on the Twitter last night, Doran, and it's one of my biggest pet peeves. People choose to like this more than the NBA. Talking about the NCAA tournament final. And look at, I don't know that anybody would argue that the quality of basketball is better, but can't you like and appreciate both things? I don't know why we always have to do that.
Yeah, we're always pitting everything against each other.
Always. Everything in this society. Now, I've done it with Ovechkin and Crosby these last couple of days because...
You've given him credit, though.
Of course.
Right.
Of course. But you can enjoy it and also probably should go into it with an understanding that you're not going to see the quality offensive basketball that you're going to see in the NBA. Hey, one thing I've really picked up on watching the NBA, Doran, is guys don't miss open shots.
No.
Just they don't at all.
None of them. Big guys, small, it doesn't matter. They hit their shots.
If they have a step-in shot, they hit it every damn time in the NBA.
But they also don't play as hard of defense.
And I think it's a different fundamental game. Like, and I think when you're playing seven-game playoff series in the NBA, you do see really high-level defense.
Yes.
You do. And you see great scouting reports and tremendous game planning. You're not going to get that game planning night in and night out in the NBA. I do think you get that in college because the games are so spread out. And so it's just a different game. You can enjoy both. You can love both. And I thought last night's game, if it didn't get them juices flowing, then you're weird. Like, you're just weird. That thing was, I mean... If you're a Houston fan, if you're a Florida fan, if you've got bets on the line, like, you got coal in your bum is turning into diamonds.
Yeah, that game was intense. It was.
Terrible last possession, though.
But it was expected, though, a little bit for me and from my perspective because of how Houston plays defense and how they rebound. Like, they're a tough basketball team. Like, nobody wants to play against Houston. You could just tell. But Florida is just very talented, and they figured out ways to exploit them whenever they needed to. You saw the track of how Florida just got better and better and better and better throughout the whole entire year.
Yes.
Up until last night. Like, they got better almost every game. They really did. And so did Houston. They started shooting the ball better, not just being a defensive team.
That's why they were there.
That's why they were there.
Because they were finally able to add a couple of guys who can knock down some shots.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I mean, oh, the final call, too. Oh, it's just brutal. He can't touch it. It's going to be a double dribble. Oh, man. Man. I thought it was going to end with an LJ Cryer 3, like Florida battles all the way back, and no. The other thing that's a pet peeve is the people, I'm a ball knower, I pick Florida. All right, pick a one seed. Now, I know you got Florida right, and I had Houston, so maybe that's why.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit bitter there.
Right.
Yeah.
Pick a one seed.
Pick a one seed.
Yeah.
Would have much rather lost to Duke if I were Houston than lose the national championship by two. Just devastating. There's still a kid that's sitting there in the student section probably this morning. Did you see that? The whole place cleared out. Yeah. It's just one poor kid right in the middle of the section, just alone, no one around him, and the cameras just kept finding him. He's probably still sitting there today.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.